So if you want to come and sit down here, we're going to watch a little video, which is the Bible story for today. And we're thinking about Moses, and we're thinking about the women in Moses' life. Does anyone know any of the women in Moses' life? Do you know any of them? No, you don't. Well, this video will show you. Okay, you ready? Okay, let's watch this video. That's great.
Stories of the Bible. Baby Moses. This is Moses.
Hey-o.
Moses was a descendant of Joseph's brother Levi.
Hey.
Joseph and his brothers had many children and grandchildren who lived happily in Egypt. Eventually, a new pharaoh came to power who knew nothing of Joseph or what he had done. This pharaoh feared the Israelites because there was a great number of them living in Egypt, so he wanted to put a stop to their prosperity. Pharaoh made the Israelites slaves. He made them work long, hard hours building up Egyptian cities. But his plan didn't work, and the Israelites grew more in number and in strength.
Eek!
So Pharaoh made a rule that no Israelite boy would be allowed to live in Egypt. This is where Moses' story begins. You see, when Moses was born, his mother saw that he was a special baby. And she kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer keep him a secret, she made a basket and put him in the Nile River among the reeds. Moses' sister stayed to watch what would happen to her baby brother. And soon the Pharaoh's daughter came to the edge of the river. When she saw the basket,
hey!
She sent her servant to get it. When she saw the baby, she felt sorry for him,
aww,
thinking he must be an Israelite baby who wasn't supposed to live.
Excuse me.
Then Moses' sister asked the princess if she would like her to find an Israelite woman to take care of the baby. So Moses' sister went and got her mother. Moses' own mother took care of him until he was old enough to live in the Pharaoh's house, where the princess adopted him as her son. And so, Moses, an Israelite boy who wasn't supposed to live, became the adopted grandson of the Pharaoh and lived in the palace as God prepared him for a great destiny that was only just starting to unfold.
Great. Did you see the women in Moses' life there? Did you see some of them? Yeah, there was Moses' mum. Anyone else? You spot anyone else? The Pharaoh's daughter, well spotted. And Moses' sister as well, wasn't there? It was important. So children, there are, if you want to go to Highland in a minute, she's got some sheets where it's what you can think about that story that we've just looked, and you can colour in. There's also something you can make here, a picture of Moses in the basket, in the reeds. So if you want to do that whilst I'm going to talk for about 5-10 minutes, and you might want to do that whilst I'm doing that. So any children, if you want to go to Highland now and grab those, any adults actually, any young people, it doesn't have to be just children, you know, you can pretend you're listening to me then, can't you? And then, you know, be doing something else. Great, so whilst the children are just getting those things, I really just want to share two or three thoughts, and then I know one of the things I love about Streetwise, and we don't do as much as I'd like actually, is we're just going to spend a bit of time going into little small groups afterwards, and we're going to just reflect and talk about a couple of the things I think I'm talking about. So, I want us mainly to think today about the women in our lives who have been good influences on us. Maybe you already, as we've been thinking this morning, can bring to mind people in our lives who have been good influences on us. And it's not, it can be anything that has been good about them and the way they've helped us, maybe the way they've cared for us. But I'm really particularly interested in those people who have shown something of the heart of God to us, who have helped us understand the character of God. Because God puts people in our lives, He puts relationships in our lives, partly because it's good for us, but also it's one of the key ways in which He shows us who He is. That's why when relationships go wrong, it sometimes can be quite hard for people, and it can actually damage our view of God. But we're not going to talk about that today, but it's worth recognizing how important relationships are and how they are God's design. The people He puts us in family with, the people He puts us in friendships with, they are partly to help. His design is that they help us to see something of Him. Maybe you can think of people who have done that for you, where when you think about them, you see something of the nature of God in them. In the story we've just watched, we see a number of women who were really important for Moses. There was his birth mother, who nurtured him and protected him from Pharaoh until she was no longer able to. If you remember, Pharaoh became, it was a different Pharaoh to when Joseph was around. And Joseph and Pharaoh got on, that Pharaoh got on. The new Pharaoh, not so much, didn't like the Israelites because they were becoming numerous and successful, and he became scared of their influence and their power. So this new Pharaoh decreed that there should be no baby Israelites. And so Moses' mother, when Moses was born, she hid him from Pharaoh to avoid him being taken and killed. But there came a time where she could no longer hide him, and so she put him in the basket. A story we all know really well. She put him in the basket on the River Nile. And Moses' sister now watched over that basket, watched what happened basically to the basket after it had been put in the Nile. And we're told that Pharaoh's daughter came down to the river and saw the basket and drew the basket out of the water. And we don't know that she's called Miriam. She's traditionally called Miriam, Moses' sister, but I couldn't see anywhere in the Bible where we're actually told that. So it's probably one of those things where a name's just been given to someone. But Moses' sister went up to Pharaoh's daughter and said, "Would you like me to find someone who can help you look after that baby?" And Pharaoh's daughter said yes. And so Moses' sister went and got Moses' mum to come and be the carer for Moses. It's wonderful, isn't it, how God still enabled Moses' mum to be able to be close to him and nurture him and bring him up in Pharaoh's court. And then we're told that when Moses got to the grew up and became a boy, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him into the royal family. And then you know the story that goes on as Moses grew older and became a prince of Egypt. There's a whole cartoon called The Prince of Egypt. Really good film if you've never watched that, The Prince of Egypt, which talks about Moses. And then we know how Moses was instrumental in leading the people of God out of slavery, out of Egypt and into the promised land of Israel. So this story of Moses is surrounded by all these women who helped him and helped work out the purposes of God in his life. That's why it's a great story for Mother's Day, because it's not just about his birth mum, it's about all those other women who were in his life who enabled him to grow up and be cared for. God wants us to have relationships that help us to know we are loved, that help us to know God's character, who He is, and that help us to become all that God wants us to be. He wants us to have those relationships in our lives. And He often chooses to do that through our, like I say, through our friends, through our family. I wonder again what women in your lives have been good influences. I've got a couple of thoughts whilst you're beginning to think about that. because I'm going to ask you to talk and share about that in a moment. Here are my two. I remember once when I was at primary school, year six, my mum taught at the school that I went to school in, my primary school, which most of the time was good because it meant no one ever bullied me because I could just go to my mum and tell on them, basically. It didn't work so much when my mum was doing sex education and I had to go into that class. That was less. But anyway, that's not what I'm talking to you about. anyway, one of the things that happened when I was at the school, I sometimes had to wait behind because my mum was marking books and doing what teachers do, and so I had to wait behind before I could go home. So I was playing once on the playground with a football. It was the last day of term, and I'd just been kicking this ball around, and just probably the last kick I did, I booted the ball, and for some reason, I booted it towards the building, and it sailed through the air and smashed into one of the toilet windows and just broke this toilet window. Last day of term, the caretaker of the school was really not happy with me because he was ready for his holes, and I'd just broken a window, which he had to sort out now before he went away on his holiday. He came storming out of the building. I saw you do that. You did that on purpose, which I didn't. It was a silly mistake, but I didn't do it on purpose. It's funny how you remember those things, aren't you? You remember the injustices that people say, even when you were little. And he marched me off to the deputy head, where I was smacked. That's how old I am. They were allowed to smack me in those days. But I had a big padded coat on, so it didn't hurt. You what, sorry? They did right. Jim, you meant to be on my side. Anyway, I was more bothered about my mum. Like, what would she say? Because, you know, it's hard for her because she's a staff member of the school. And my mum, we went home and she didn't say anything. It wasn't one of the silent treatment punishments either. It wasn't, well, I'm not going to say anything, I'm just going to let him stew. She just went, she didn't say anything. We got on with what we'd normally do. And I said, I'm sorry about that window or something like that. And she said, it's all right, it's fine, it was an accident. You know, you've been told off, it was an accident, it was fine. And that contrast between, I understood why the caretaker felt like he did, you know, I'd made his life hard, but he just immediately accused me of doing it on purpose, whereas my mum didn't. My mum knew that that wasn't what I'd done, and she said, there's no need to, I don't need to be angry with you, that's done. Now, that might seem like a little thing, but I think there she showed something of the heart of God, and there's a reason why I remember that story. You know, I remember that story because as I consider who God is, I think of that. I think of how my mum was. The other story is my grandma. My grandma died when I was 12, but I had some really lovely times with her, and we used to go and stay with her. My mum and dad used to go and watch football on a Saturday, and we'd go and stay with my grandma, me and my brother. And the one story that sticks in my mind is me and my brother were fighting once. We didn't fight that often, but, you know, siblings, they fight, don't they? And we were sitting on the sofa watching TV. Again, this will show you how old I was. I had to get up off the sofa to press one of the three buttons to get onto one of the three channels that we could watch at the time. I don't think Channel 4 had started by then. We still only had those three channels. It was a colour TV, though. But me and my brother were sat on this sofa, and we were just arguing about what channel to watch, which of the three channels we were going to watch. So I'd get off of the sofa and bang it. You know, and if those of you remember those TVs, they were just a dial that you pushed in, weren't they? And then it clicked. And if you changed TV, your channel, you clicked another button, didn't you? And it just, the top one popped out. So I'd go up and I'd be like, no, I want BBC One or whatever it was. And my brother would go up and say, no, I want this, and bang. And so we did that backwards and forwards, jumping up off the sofa and smack. And we just hit the buttons harder and harder until eventually the TV broke. We sort of jammed the buttons, two of the buttons jammed down, and we just got static on the TV. And we broke the telly, which was more of a punishment for us. That was probably the punishment than anything, the fact that we couldn't watch telly. But I remember my grandma coming in, and she was really sad. She was almost crying. And she wasn't cross with us. She was just sad. And she wasn't sad or crying because her TV was broken. She wasn't like that. It was more that she didn't like me and my brother fighting. It really upset her to see me and my brother fighting. And I think back to that again, and I think that reminds me of God. You know, when we sin, when we do stuff wrong, his first reaction isn't to be angry with us. His first reaction is to be sad. You know, it upsets God when we do things that mean that we separate ourselves from him. That's the sin's its own punishment, isn't it? It separates us from him. So when I think of my grandma and the way she reacted and how she just showed, she was upset at the way that we were as brothers, I remember that that's how God thinks about us. Firstly, when we sin, when we fall out, when we're not together, when our relationships aren't good with each other, it hurts, it saddens God. That's his first reaction, because he loves us so much and he created us to be in friendship and in unity with each other. That's why when church is working so well, when he calls his people together, when he calls such a different range of people together, and we manage to live together in unity, that's why that's so precious. Because we reveal something of the heart of God to the world, that this is what he wants. That he wants people who aren't at odds with each other, but because of their relationship with Jesus and what he's doing in their lives, he draws us together. I mean, do you ever think that when you get into church? You think, how on earth would I be in a room with this group of people if I wasn't going to church? Well, you wouldn't, would you, often? You know, it's a wonderful thing. So those are two women in my life that I'm so thankful for. And when I think about them, I'm reminded of who God is. I wonder if you have people in your life, women in your life, who have done that for you. I would love us. I don't know what we normally say, Margaret, here. Do we normally just say go into little groups and talk about it? Is that will that work? So just, I know for some of us, he's going to ask us to turn to someone and talk to them. I'm sorry. Please do that. Say hello to people. It's a really good way of just, we're all on the welcome team. You know, it's a really good way of just welcoming people we don't know. Let's just spend 2-3 minutes just saying. And if there is no one, that's fine. If you don't want to talk, that's fine. If you want to just listen, that's fine. But turn to people around us and just let's share one woman, maybe two, that have been really important in our lives and why and how they've shown you something of God. Is that okay? Great. Let's do that. couple more minutes and then we'll draw the conversations to a close.
Might not have the words for the grace. You'd have to say the grace. You just say a prayer for us.
Okay, then. Yeah.
Is that right?
That's fine, yeah.
Because then I'll don't have to jump off the piano and I'll just.
Yeah. So as soon as you've finished, I'll get off.
Yeah. Say anything you want to say.
Okay, then. It's nice
though, so
get to know about
it.
Yeah.
If I could try and gather you back, that would be great.
This bit is hard though, especially in here, getting them back again.
Does anyone want to share what they were talking about? One or two people maybe want to just share? I'll run to you with a microphone. I won't make you get up. Margaret.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a little bit about some people don't have role models, and that the Holy Spirit can show you how to be a good mum, and they can send good mums into your life, or could be, that kind person that you needed at that time.
That's really good. Thanks, Margaret. Anyone else? Are you coming out, Anne? You don't want me to run to you with a microphone. You want to come out? No, okay, that's fine.
I think the only reason I am here and here in a church community, I mean, is because of my school friend. So this isn't somebody recent. It's like, and she was a Christian. And I don't know, eventually after probably when I was about 14, 15, so I must have known her 3 or 4 years, just her being was, I don't know, drew me. So I thought, well, I'll go along to church with her. So, you know, a little thing can, it's like the mustard seed.
That's great. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell the story for your sympathy, but when we were young, most of our family ended up in care. So I was about 10, I think, and we're in this home. And all the staff were women, and they were nice, but they were quite strict, you know what I mean? Get on with stuff. But there was one particular lady who come, and in Ireland, you're either in a Catholic home or a Protestant home. And because we were Protestants, all the staff were Protestants, apart from this one lady who come from Southern Ireland. And I remember her name, Mrs. Goulding. And she was lovely. And she made you... she just loved you. You know, she showed that motherly love that the other staff didn't show. And even though she was only temporary there because she was a Catholic, that's how terrible it was. I remember to this day, you know what I mean? She just made such a difference knowing, because we were like thrown into a home for 3 or 4 years. And, you know, everything's strange, you know what I mean? But I always remember her. So she made a difference.
Thanks, Jim, isn't it? Some people can only be with us for a small period of time, but we really notice them, don't we? Yeah.
Yes, my mum was brought up in an atheist household. And when her mum died, which was when my mum was 10 years old, and she was an only child, it was the local Methodist minister's wife who took pity on her and her dad and befriended her and started inviting her to youth club. And she really admired that lady a lot. And mum became a Christian through her. And I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that Methodist minister's wife.
So I was talking about my grandmother and the influence she's had on her family and me. And one of the things it made me think about was a lot of women struggle with guilt, thinking they're not good enough mum, not good enough grandparent, not good enough Christian, and always feel like they're a failure. And I was just thinking about my grandmother because she definitely wasn't perfect by any means. She had 3 different marriages in her life. She was addicted to food until her 70s. She was had quite a temper on her at times and I was quite scared of her. She was a very forceful personality and spoke her mind. But she made a decision to become a Christian from an atheist background in the 70s at a Billy Graham rally. And there were a couple of things in her life that changed. One of them, she was particularly generous, and one of them, she was particularly compassionate and merciful. And there were some things in her life that didn't change, and she certainly wasn't perfect. But the influence she's had just through the changes she did make and making that decision to follow God, even though she didn't go to church towards the end of her life hardly at all, she still kept her faith. The influence on our family is that every single one of her grandchildren and their kids have come to the Lord. And if she hadn't made that decision, I don't think they would have done. So I'm so thankful for that, and just to encourage people that if you feel like you're not good enough, you can still be a great influencer, and God will still use the good things in your life to influence others.
Thank you. It's a bit like that, the verse at the beginning you used, Margaret, isn't it, about God using for good? Yeah. All things for the good, all things work together. Yeah. Sorry, Lisa, you did say. No, I'm not going.
In the 90s, mid-90s, I did a voluntary youth work here with Oasis Trust in Newcastle. And the youth worker there, Sarah, she was just absolutely, really just very gentle but very lovely. And she wouldn't stand any messing from people, but she was just very gentle with it. And just how she invited people into her home, how she worked with the kids in the local area. She helped, and actually she wasn't just looking after them, actually years to come she was helping their kids as well. And just how she invited people into her home, not just the very easy to love people, but just she'd always have her home open to people and a table full of people for food and stuff like that, which was lovely.
It's wonderful. I think hospitality is at the heart of God. And anyone who shows that is revealing something of God. Great. Well, we're going to finish with some worship in a moment, and then Margaret's going to say a final prayer for us. And then there's coffee and tea, and I don't know if there's any pastries left. If there are any pastries, there are pastries left, so we'll do that. But just before we do that, I just want to read you, I'm sure you're aware that in the Bible there's some beautiful passages where God is portrayed as a mother. And there's the one where, you know, he says about like a mother hen, and that the wings cover us, we hide in the shelter of his wings. But this is one of my favorites from Isaiah 49. And this is when the people of God were feeling like God had left them and forsaken them. And it says this, "But Zion said, the people of God said, the Lord has left us, has forsaken us. The Lord has forgotten me." And then it says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." Such a beautiful verse, isn't it? Can a mother forget the baby at her breast? And God says, this is what I'm like. I will not forget you. I've engraved you on the palms of my hand. And I hope we all hear that this morning. That's how God thinks about you and me this morning. You are precious to him. And he engraves your name on the palm of his hand. That's amazing. He must have big hands, eh? He engraves your name on the palms of his hand. And he thinks about you. And there's no way he can ever forget you. And that's a motherly image in Scripture that is really precious, I think, and really beautiful. So I'm going to pray just for us off the back of that. I should have mentioned why we've got a baptism pool, because I'll pray in a moment. We've got Vineyard Church, who we're really good friends with. They've asked if they could use the church for their baptism service, which we are very, very pleased to do. So they're going to do that this afternoon. They've got some baptisms happening. So I'll pray for them, and we'll bless Vineyard Church, who are going to come and use the building today. But let's just pray, then we'll worship, and then we'll finish with blessing. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for particularly the characters that we've thought about this morning, and thank you that your word reminds us of those people in our lives that have been important to us, and particularly those women in our lives that have been important to us. And as we've recalled those people, Lord, we thank you again for them. And we do pray, Lord, that each one of us here would know that we are cared for like a mother cares for her child. That is who you are, God, that's what you're like. And I pray for each one of us, Holy Spirit, would you seal that truth within our hearts, that we are precious to you, that you draw us close, and that our names are written on your hands. Thank you for that truth, Lord. And I pray for anyone here today who is feeling sad for any reason or is feeling distant from you. I pray that you would draw close. And by your Spirit, Lord, you would remind them of how loved they are. And Lord, we thank you for our friends around the city, the wonderful churches around the city that are meeting today. And we particularly thank you for Vineyard Church. And we pray your blessing over the baptisms that are going to happen this afternoon. We pray that that would be fun, joyful, and a really significant time for those people being baptized. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would be working in and through all that happens there. And we ask all these prayers in your precious name. Amen.